Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Galactic Earth, and it is the eighth day of the White Dog Wave Spell, and it is the Crystal Moon Day 11, which means that we're in the middle of this northern week and situated in our spirit, and maybe you can feel your desire for space and even separation from human beings, maybe, so that you are alone in your spirit self with the spirit world, or you might be communicating with the spirit world. I observe that it is more about the spirit world than trying to find people right now, but there could be lots of different reasons for that. The intensity that I went through for a week abated on Red Galactic Earth, and I thought that was nice today, that I could wake up and feel like a retrospective back to the Red Earth Wave Spell, which was a really wonderful experience for me. White Dog came immediately with a lot of energetic challenges, but Red Earth didn't have anything like that. And so dropping into the Remembrance Day, the Galactic Day, is always a pitch backward to the Wave Spell that was prior to this one, and it feels really nice. And a lot gets done in this Red Earth recap, because if you recall, in the Red Earth Wave Spell, we had this evolution, identifiable advancement in the journey. Like at the beginning of the Wave Spell, I was here, and by the end, I'm noticeably farther along the path. And that includes like mission accomplished and projects completed. And so the Red Galactic Earth Day that I am experiencing is like a compact, you know, reiteration that, yes, that was a really productive and a time, I wouldn't say like a manifestation, but a time of being able to get traction on the road. The road trip could be real, like actually moving through geography, or it could just be a trip in your own process that had significant distance traveled. So then I'm going to remember back to yesterday, which was Yellow Resonant Warrior and a portal day. And that was the precursor to the Wave Spell that's coming pretty soon. We have a whole Blue Knight Wave Spell after White Dog, and then we come to the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell. And you could have noticed some kind of anticipation of what kind of fight you're going to be engaged in that time. What war? And it was a portal day. That's what I remember. I had this mundane experience where on the portal day that I sort of remembered, because it's hard to remember them when they're not in a 10-day run, I just put all these doors in my house on the portal day. So where they're there were walls, now they're doors. So that was pretty literal. Okay, I feel like I'm not dropping in here and being quite as accessible as I would like to be. Part of it's because I'm a little embarrassed that I always tell stories about my life instead of just delivering the goods. And the minute I start having self-consciousness, like, don't tell another story, then I can't deliver the goods anyway, because I'm frozen with, self-persecution. I have to kind of start the podcast that is reminding us that we're in the white dog wave spell by talking about my morning. I said I woke up, woke up at 5. It's really light at 5. That is great that you don't have to kind of hide out and be all like, oh, well, I'm wide awake. I'm sort of an insomniac, but it's sort of dark and foreboding outside. No, it was really welcoming. And I took off with the dogs and just had a very bucolic, not a hike, a walk on a bike path that's right by the water. It is very pretty. It is very ghetto at the same time. But it was just us. And the sun is brilliant and rising. And, here we are. We're just heading into the week of solstice and all of this bright light. Everything seemed fine until I saw some scat. I saw a giant coyote crap on the bike path, and I knew that it was not dog because it was just full of like seed pods. And so I had that premonition, and then all of a sudden, like, all four of my dogs just take off and they are chasing a coyote. And again, we're not like way out in nature, we're along a bike path, and they chase the coyote, and I'm miserable about it because I'm thinking about the coyote who's been uprooted and unsettled, and what a jerk I am that my dogs are doing this. I don't, they should be on a leash or something. And then the coyote gets away pretty easily, I guess, but I have my dog somewhat corralled, and then it comes back. It comes back as if it wants to play. It does this over and over again. And I didn't really know what to make of it. And then I finally did have all my dogs back on leash, and the coyote was just yowling, yelping for 15 minutes, just making so much noise that neighbors in the housing development were coming out to see what was going on with the coyote. And, there was like one shamanic dude in a baseball cap who said, well, it's separated from its child. Probably its pup. So I take my dogs back along the bike path towards, our origin point, just to get away from all of that for the coyote. And we do. We run immediately into the other coyote that has been separated. And this other coyote doesn't look like a tiny little baby. It's probably a juvenile, but the same size. And this dog, this wild dog, doesn't seem to care at all that audibly there's this panic state of the other coyote trying to reconnect with it. And I'm telling you the story because it was like, to me, this giant spiritual opus about relationship, because over here we have this terrorized, terrified maternal or devotional coyote partner, whether it's a parent or they're dating, probably a parent, freaking out. And then over here, like, the nonchalant doesn't pay any attention to what's going on, doesn't respond to all of that intensity and chaotic mourning and panic state, didn't rush over once we were not a barrier to it rejoining its coyote parent, just sat like a dog on the bike path, really pointy ears, so cute, really skinny. And so I was like, okay, there it is, there's the white dog dilemma. This is like human love personified in the dog category, where that's a parent to a teenager. Like, the mom is so attached, the teenager doesn't give a shit, doesn't care, totally into themselves, totally into doing nothing, not emotionally responsive, not participatory, not connective, or, you know, any dating scenario that's not balanced or not, it's unrequited, you know, like, I miss you. I'm scared. Where did you go? I want to see you. I want to be with you. We've been separated. Can't we be together? Please. Can you hear me? I'm calling, I'm texting, I'm vibing you. I really want the separation to be over. I don't like how it feels. And then the other facet of someone who doesn't have that response at all to separation, more interested in themselves or their environment, not thinking of reunions, not thinking of rushing back into someone's arms. You know, it really blew my mind to see it in the dog world. I mean, I can't describe like how completely freaked out coyote number one was and how completely uncaring about that coyote number two was. So it made a really big impression on me, obviously. And it was kind of like, I have the four dogs, and so I could say, oh, well, the white dog wave spell got jacked for me, you know, because, you know, I live in dog land, but this was the exponential dog experience. And I think I'm not willing to share how, you know, much I relate to the coyote that was freaking out. But it's more historic for me. I have this history of being like, oh, I don't want to be not with you. And, you know, maybe I'm more like the coyote on the bike path, just sort of chilling, watchful, not in a rush. Okay, so that's the dog story, and that's the dog synchronicity, and that's the dog parable, the relationship teaching that I am drawing from this white dog moment. Like I said last podcast, like, I just feel like, oh, this is all about who's in your pack, and it feels shitty to not be in a pack with the people you want to be in a pack with. Like, I had way more amorous connection before the white dog wave spell than within it, in terms of the person that my heart sort of leans toward. And that's just kind of weird and wild. And all I can extrapolate is like, well, I might have a connection on a spiritual level or a paranormal one, but when it comes to hanging out in a tribe or being in a dog pack, that's not what we are. And I do observe where the tribal allegiances are for me, but this wave spell has been all clarifying, like, not that. And not just him, like, also friendships. Like, that's not a really great friendship for me, actually. They're not in my tribe after all. I would have thought so until this wave spell. So that's just one version of what could be happening in the white dog time. I can only sort of speak from my own immediate experience, but I don't presume that that's your white dog teaching. I can restate that, you know, white dog is about love and loving deeply. And so people do fall in love, puppy love, during the white dog time. If you do love someone or with someone, I would expect that you feel like a heart connection deepening and pulsing right now. Like, I have kids that I love, love, love. And in the white dog wave spell, it's amplified. So, you know, whatever relational connections or commitments you're in, I would think they are more obviously stridently loving. But if you're wondering, like, what causes pain, it's the rejection. Like, and then there are people that don't love you. So that's painful. And the heart is the center of this wave spell. So the heart is going to feel like soaring love feelings, vibrating, warm, you know, magnetic, kinetic. And the heart also in this wave spell is going to feel bruised, burned, hardened, broken. Can do. And then the white dog way spell can be about being a disciple, being loyal to a deity, a divinity. I mean, I'm not talking about like Krishna. I'm talking about like the vibe of your God, and also practices, spiritual practices that you drop into. Like, what is the way that you pray or meditate? It may not be an organized religion, but it may be a habit practice, and you would fall really easily into that right now. Like, I want to be a disciple of the particular strain or teaching that speaks to me. And then I guess the dog fight. My bulldogs had a birthday. They became blue eagles again. They're four. It was blue rhythmic eagle. They turned four. It's kind of cool that it's in the white dog wave spell for them, that their year as they age four, they're going to be blue rhythmic eagles in the white dog wave spell. They were horrible on their birthday. And if you have kids, then you know, or if you have boyfriends or yourself, like I have ruined so many of my own birthdays for other people that want to do something nice for me. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's my birthday. So what I really want to do is what I want to do, not someone's idea of what I should do. And I've also ruined birthdays of others by being like some weird saboteur, you know, with like demonic motivation where it just can't be a great day. There's got to be some kind of weird sideways disturbance. So anyhow, my dogs had that kind of a day. I'm like, oh, it's their birthday. Only I know. This is so fun. They're going to be blue eagles again. They're blue lunar eagles by birth. They're Gemini twins. They got in a major fight with each other that was just for no reason. It was like a bizarre explosion. They just suddenly were dangerously fighting each other. And then the plumber peed and shut the water off so he couldn't flush the toilet. And then my boy bulldog went and drank that. And then he was sick the rest of the day. So it was like super gnarly. And I brought this up because of the dog fight piece of the wave spell that we're in. It's not all love. And like we discussed, it could be hate. You know, love, what is that? It's refusal to love. It's attachment that is full of venom, but it's still attachment. It's still connection. And then there is, I think, kind of a dim-wittedness to white dog, because we're so heart-centered that we're not going to be at our smartest in our brains right now. So those are things that could be happening to you. I'm really trying to deliver here all the different dynamics. Probably because it's more difficult to talk about the crystal moon time after time. I mean, it would be like eight different sessions within one moon. And I don't know that I have more to say about the crystal tone. I think so relentless. My father's wife, my stepmother, had a stroke and is in the hospital. And it's pretty serious, I think. She's 78. And I think she'll survive. But my father is crystal. So I just am living in observation of what's going on for him in his moon. In his moon, he has this really poignant challenge, and why he's sort of unfathomable to me, because he's unflappable. That is the crystal tone in action in a human being, where, you know, I'm overwhelmed and anxious and upset about everything that I encounter that's not kind of what I chose or mapped out. Like, I'm always triggered. I think that's because I'm doing a renovation forever. But my dad is crystal, and he doesn't have an emotional upheaval or a sense of despair or self-loathing or shame when it comes to something as truly stressful as your, you know, partner of 35 years looking super vulnerable in a hospital bed with a surgery scheduled. He's not chilling. He's just agreeable. He is cooperative. He universalizes things, which is a different way of getting a big picture view. Like, he just sort of looks at what everyone's doing naturally. That's the crystal tone, is to not, it's the, one of the phrases is, how can I dedicate myself to others? I get confused sometimes. It's either how can I dedicate myself to others, who, or how can I dedicate myself to all that lives? And some, there is that evidence in my dad that he isn't selfish. So the crystal tone is not selfish. It's not selfless. It's organized around connecting with other people, including other people, participating with other people, cooperating with them, and identifying as part of a group or gathering of people. And it could be animals, the coyotes. It doesn't have to be exclusively humans, but living beings. And for most of us, we're going to see evidence of collections of humans around us in this moon, in this time. So you can celebrate, I think, inclinations to be cooperative and think of others. And again, I'm not talking about moralism. I'm not being like, you need to think more about other people. There's no reverse like accusation that you're selfish and you need to be less so. You have been on your own in some facet. From some perspective, you have been on your own journeying since the beginning of this year, or, you know, within the first moon, like you went on a journey, a paranormal journey through this annual wave spell. And it was like a mythological quest or challenge. And now it's over, in the sense that you get to convene with the folks that you took off from when we each went on our separate sort of sabbatical, or remove each of us into our own karma, into our own process. And now we get to be at the potluck at the end. And that's why graduation parties and ceremonies at this time of year are so easy to engage with. You know, all the end of school, spring into summer kinds of festivity are always in the heart of the crystal moon. When we celebrate summer solstice, we are in the heart of the crystal moon. So you can look around and see the way that you're drawn into crowds of people. And of course, crowds are minimalistic these days, but it's not meant to be like, oh, I mean, yes, you will want to be in a crowd of people. That is a really like big badass gathering, but as much it's sort of like just drawn into, you know, small groups or mid-size, just wherever you go. It's not irritating, I don't think, to be around people when it's the crystal tone. All right, now I'm probably lucky you emitting like another handful of stories. They're always demonstrating how engaged I am with the calendar teachings at every moment, every juncture, not only because synchronicities spark, but because my whole path in life is oriented to touching in with these teachings, you know, multiple times a day. I don't mean sitting and reading. I mean like, oh, right. Oh, that's the resonant day. That's red earth there. That's the crystal tone. That's my connection privately, personally with the, you know, blue eagle person. So it's never really dormant, maybe for a couple hours at a time, but mostly not. And so the stories come out of my always alert orientation to all the facets of natural time. And I want to remind you of the fun game that you can play. You can look up people's birthdays sort of relentlessly. You can look up the people you know and the people you don't know, because on the internet, it's all out there. And if it's someone famous, it's really easy to find. And if there is someone that you don't really know, but you know their name, or I mean, someone from your past that you can't get a hold of, or someone you know through an extended social situation, but you're not going to ask them their birthday. I'm telling you, some of these search engines for people have their birthdays on them. And that's an interesting way to find out more about the people in your neighborhood. You can take your birthday and add it to anyone else's birthday and get the magical alchemical combo that makes no sense per like a Mayan history lesson, but Jose Arguelles invented this. I think he invented it, or it wasn't from the Maya. And I use this. I think it's really powerful and hilarious. It makes so much sense. So I'm reminding you, I've told you about it before. You add up the tones and the tribes of your Mayan birthdays. So if you are Overtone and someone else that you know is Crystal, you can take the number 5 for Overtone and the number 12 for Crystal and add them together, which is 17, and then you subtract 13 and you get 4, which is self-existing. So an Overtone and Crystal person, their connection tone is self-existing. And then you can add up your tribes, because of course we all have a name for our tribe. I'm a blue storm, you're a yellow human, but just know that there's also a number. Yellow human is 12, blue storm is 19. So if I add those together, I get 12 and 19, I add those together and I get 31. I'm doing this wrong, it's too much pressure. I think that's right though, but I'm going to subtract 20. So the tones, you add them up and you subtract 13 if you need to. The tribes, you add them up and subtract 20. And so that was 11. 31 minus 20 is 11. And so the combo between blue storm and yellow human is blue monkey. So a blue overtone storm, gosh, this sounds like me, and a yellow crystal human would be together a blue self-existing monkey, a blue monkey and the self-existing tone. So again, just remember, like if you're electric and someone else is lunar, you don't have to, that's like 3 plus 2 is 5. You don't have to take any thing away. It's only if it's larger than 13 that you just subtract 13, and larger than 20 you subtract 20. I hope that makes sense. Just have fun with it. I realize that I'd like to start teaching again now that we're all being set free, when I don't have my house project, and that's the kind of thing I love to do, is just assign people birthday searches and then doing the math to find out what it is that they connect with other people through what tone and tribe. And then the other thing I realized I need to say here is Mercury retrograde is happening. I can tell because, you know, things are breaking down and not working, and communication can be difficult. I definitely suddenly remembered my in-laws from 20 years ago from my experience of getting cursed, blasted by them. So that would be an example of me being the retrograde element in their lives, just showing up from the past. So, you know, we have all of this curvature of retrograde happening at the same time as the crystal moon, is the same time it's the white dog way spell, and you can be watchful of that. But I also am just trying to express sympathy for the ways your life is fraught with technological challenges, extra expenses for things that are breaking, really intense if you are having difficult relationship communication, and that's like my dogs fighting on their birthday. it's a really good time to renovate. So I'm kind of like, I'm in the right milieu for a retrograde. And I just realized that that would explain too, if you're ever waiting for my podcasts and I'm just not on time, which I rarely am. So who is really waiting for me to be on time when I hardly ever am? It's really the inside the retrograde feeling for me. Like I can't show up on time. I can't deliver. It's technology. I'm unable to control my urge to just be slow and a little lazy. Hey, I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.